Our first scripture reading of the morning is from Luke's gospel. I'll be reading the 24th chapter. In fact, both of the scripture readings are from Luke's gospel. I'm going to split the story in half, reading verses 13 through 27. This is after the resurrection. I invite you to follow along on the screen. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them the things about himself in all the scriptures." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Love the story of the Sunday school teacher who was asked by, who asked her students one Sunday morning, "Boys and girls, I want you to tell me what Easter is all about." And one little boy piped up saying, "Well, Easter, I know, that's the day that our whole family gets together to eat turkey and watch football." Teacher just kind of cringed at this boy's obvious confusion between Thanksgiving and Easter. But then there was a little girl who shot her hand up. She said, "Oh, I know. Easter, that's the day when we come down the stairs and we open up all those beautifully wrapped presents that are under the tree." Well, again, this teacher is fit to be tied, but there's little Jimmy waving his hands back and forth. He said, "Oh, I know. Easter's the day after Jesus was crucified on the cross and he was buried." And this teacher's thinking, "Yes, Jimmy, yes, I know you can do it." And then Jesus came out of the tomb. "Yes, Jimmy." And he looked down, and if he sees a shadow, we get 6 more weeks of winter. Well, like Jimmy, Luke's gospel tells us of 2 travelers on the Emmaus Road who are also a bit confused about Easter. They have winter in their hearts. They are on the road to despair. They are on the road to Emmaus. I invite you to join me as I finish the story from Luke's gospel. Again, Luke chapter 24, and I'll be reading verses 28 through 35. Once again, I invite you to follow along on the screen. As they, meaning the 2 travelers, came near the village to which they were going, he, Jesus, walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Let us pray. God, in these moments that we have together, we pray that you would open our eyes, but also open our hearts to the wonderful truth of this Easter story, that Jesus is alive and we are made forever new. Fill us now with the light, life, and love of our resurrected Savior, who is Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, it seems as if these two travelers are just kind of penciled into the margins of the New Testament almost as an afterthought. In fact, Luke can't even remember the name of one of them. It's Cleopas and what's-his-face. If you were filming one of those sprawling Lord of the Rings epic movies, these guys would be two extras in a crowd scene. In fact, they would probably be listed as traveler number one and traveler number two as they rolled the final credits. Well, as far as these two were concerned, the final credits had already rolled on that dark Friday. Jesus was dead, and so they are packing up their stuff and they're heading home. You know, there are basically two kinds of fans at sporting events. First, there are those hardcore types who refuse to leave the game until the final out. It may be past midnight. It may be raining cats and dogs. It might be the 17th inning. But these devoted followers will break out with their ponchos and they'll keep right on watching and they'll keep right on cheering. Or you may be at a basketball game and you see those fans who are just riveted to their seats to the bitter end, praying for the team to win, waiting for some kind of miraculous divine intervention. Now, if you're that kind of a fan, you're like Peter or John or Mary Magdalene. They were there for every gruesome minute of Jesus' crucifixion, his burial in a tomb, and then the agonizing waiting of Saturday and, yes, even Sunday morning. Now, our two Emmaus travelers are like the other kinds of fans that you see at sporting events. If the game seems out of reach, these fans start looking at the scoreboard, playing on their phones, or heading to the concession stands for some food. They start thinking about tomorrow's early breakfast meeting or not wanting to get stuck in traffic. And so they pick up their belongings and they head for the exits. These Emmaus travelers were what we might call fair weather fans. Now, they had been there with Jesus. They had hoped against hope that this young charismatic preacher from Nazareth was who he claimed to be, the Messiah of God. They followed him right into Friday, and then it all came to a bitter end at the cross. And so they make this 7-mile trip to Emmaus, about the distance from here to the Solenko Fairgrounds. And as they're walking, they start to reflect on the events of the week. You see, it was only last Sunday that they had traveled in the opposite direction, all the way to Jerusalem, and they were first-hand witnesses as Jesus rode in triumphantly into Jerusalem, and he had made them feel things that they never felt before in their lives. He had made their lives worth living. They had pinned all their hopes on this man. One of them says, "We had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel, but now he was dead. We had hoped." And so now, in the aftermath of Good Friday, these two traumatized travelers walk that road, weary and depressed. And even though it's a beautiful day and the warm sunshine is splashing down on them, they don't see anything and they don't feel anything. After all, they had not only buried a loved one, but they had buried their Lord. They had buried the very one who makes our funerals bearable. So, really, what else is there to do? After all, they got to get back to their lives in Emmaus. There's kids to pick up at daycare. There are sales calls that need to be made on Monday morning. There's no food in the refrigerator. And so they trudge back home to Emmaus. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been to Emmaus? My guess is that all of us at some point in our lives have been to Emmaus. And the reason why I say that is Emmaus is where you go when your world is falling apart. Emmaus is where you go because things didn't quite work out the way they were supposed to. A pastor friend of mine received this letter. I'm 31 years old and divorced, though I fought the divorce bitterly. I feel bad. I have no hope for my future. Often I go home and cry, but there's no one holding me when I cry. Nobody cares. Nothing changes, and I continue to fail. I'm stressed out emotionally, and I feel I'm on the verge of a collapse. Something is very wrong, but I feel so hurt and embittered that I can scarcely react or relate to others anymore. I feel as if I'm going to have to sit out the rest of my life in the penalty box. Now, haven't we all had sky-high hopes that just crashed and burned? In the aftermath of Good Friday, what else is there to do but throw up our hands and walk home to Emmaus? But friends, the message of Easter is simply this. It ain't over till it's over. Now, have you ever left the ball game early because you knew that there was no hope for your team? And you're out in the parking lot and you opened your car door and you've got the key in the ignition and suddenly you hear a roar from inside the stadium. And you think, what was that? And a little voice inside of you says, it ain't over till it's over. With the Miami Heat trailing 94-89 in a potentially decisive Game 6 of the 2013 NBA Finals, many of the Heat fans at American Airlines Arena decided to get up from their seats and head home early. You know, beat the traffic, because there's no need to stick around to watch the last 30 seconds of a tough loss for your team, and then watch the opposing team celebrate their championship on your home court. Guess what happened? A couple of missed free throws by the San Antonio Spurs, a three-pointer by the Miami Heat, and then this.
Should the Spurs foul? Should Miami go for the three right away? Just attack the basket. James catches, puts up a three, won't go, rebound Bosch, back out to Allen, his three-pointer, bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining! Spurs do not have a timeout, but the officials are going to review to see if Allen was behind the line.
Chris Bosch with a huge offensive rebound.
And that instant replay, enormous.
And Mike, Tim Duncan, out of the game, leads to the second shot, and clearly a three-point shot.
They confirmed that it was a three, and the Spurs had a chance to talk this.
Well, the game went into overtime, where the Heat eventually prevailed to force a Game 7, and then they won Game 7. To win the 2013 NBA Finals. Now, what you might not know is many of those Heat fans were not around to see that unbelievable finish. Because outside of the arena, all those who had left early, those thousands of people who had lost hope, had left to go home, but then they turned around and they were wondering, what's that cheering going on? What just happened? And just as a parenthetical statement, when they found out what was going on, they were not allowed back into the arena. Well, on Easter, the Emmaus travelers are out of earshot from the shouts of joy He is risen. Jesus is alive. But then something wonderful happens to them. They had missed the victory, and so the victory comes to them. It says, Jesus himself came near and went with them. And the very reason for their sorrow is gone. Jesus is alive. But we're told that they did not recognize him. Instead, it says they stood still, looking sad. And so they're trudging along on their trail of tears. And Jesus asked them, what are you talking about? And they say, about the things that happened this week in Jerusalem. And Jesus asked, what things? And they're probably thinking, gosh, what planet have you been living on? The things concerning Jesus is public knowledge. Today, they might have said, hey, it's been all over the news on Fox. CNN has been interviewing people all weekend long. Have you seen Facebook? Their godly leader had been brutally murdered. And for the next six verses, they vent all of their emotions, fear, sadness, discouragement, despair. Now, what's interesting to me is that Jesus does not simply rip off his disguise and say, hey, guys, look, it's me. Instead, he walks with them and he lives inside of their doubts and despair. So let me ask you another question. Are you someone here today who is troubled by doubts and despair? I want you to know that Jesus is with you inside of your doubts and despair. He wants you to share your doubts with him. He's a really big savior. Believe me when I tell you, he can more than handle your doubts. Well, finally, after 3 hours, they reach Emmaus. And the two travelers say to Jesus, stay with us. And so Jesus comes into their home for dinner. Now, we don't know what exactly happened. Maybe there was something in the way he broke the bread. Perhaps it was the light that was shining in at just the right angle, and they saw his nail-pierced hands. But suddenly, it says they recognized him. And then in that instant, Jesus disappears from their sight. And they spring up from their chairs, and they run all the way back to Jerusalem. Now, they had left there with their heads hung low, but they return, jumping for joy. 7 miles of smiles, a 10K of pure exhilaration. And all the while they're shouting, Jesus is alive. He is here. We never have to be without him again. Friends, Easter is a reminder that it ain't over till it's over. And it's never over because life with Jesus Christ goes on and on and on. I just love the fact that those disciples like Peter and John, those faithful ones who followed Jesus through those 3 years, they're running around the empty tomb saying, where is he? Where is he? And meanwhile, Jesus is out and about walking and talking with these two nobodies who left to go home early. You know, you are someone here or maybe someone watching who feels like that you have been trying to find God your whole life. But did you ever stop to think that the reason that you are here or watching this morning is because God has already found you? Even as you have traveled on a road of doubt and despair, like those two travelers to Emmaus, Jesus is still walking beside you. Perhaps it's secretly disguised as a friend, or a loved one, or a colleague at work. And on Easter, the risen Christ walks into our homes, into our businesses, into our schools, into our hearts, and into the way that we live our lives. You know, the Cleopas family was never the same after what happened to them that day. Their lives went from heartbreak to daybreak. And friends, so can ours. I love the verse in that hymn. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. So, don't go home early. Stay to the end. It ain't over till it's over. Please hang around for the victory party celebration. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for Easter. We praise you for the empty tomb, because without the resurrection, there's no gospel, there's no church, there are no trumpets, no choir, no praise team, no brass ensemble, no lilies, no pulpit, no future beyond the grave. Oh God, you lead us into a mystery that staggers the imagination. The tomb is empty. Jesus Christ is risen today, and we are made forever new. And so we pray that the living Christ would be our comfort and our confidence. We pray that for us, Easter would not be just chocolate eggs and jelly beans, but a present victory over all of our trials and struggles. That because he lives, we live, yet not we, but Christ lives in our hearts. Lord God, we pray with Easter confidence for the needs right here in this room and for those who may be watching this morning remotely. We pray for those whose health is failing. We pray for families where there are problems. We pray that you would give to all of us that thing that we most need from you. And finally, we pray for a world that is in desperate need of the hope of the resurrection, and that you love so much that you sent your son to die and then to be raised to new life. And we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.